All right, turn to page number 215 in your hymn books. We're going to sing Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. Page number 215. Go ahead and stand. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, he met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine. Justified fully through Calvary's love, oh Lord, a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Took of the offer of grace, he did proper, he saved me, praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day, when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and blessings supernal, from this precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Brother Rich, could you go ahead and start us off with prayer this evening? Amen. You may go ahead and be seated. Turn to page number 143. We're going to sing Blessed Assurance. Page number 143.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, I'm happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. All right, it's a blessing to be here this evening. We did have a good time out souling this afternoon. Had six people saved this afternoon, so it was a profitable afternoon out souling. And so just want to remind you, of course, souling times, as always, Saturday at 10 and Sundays at 2 o'clock. If you can make it for either of those times, the Christmas party will be coming up this Saturday, the 16th at 5 p.m. here at the church. And so I do try to plan on that. That'll be this coming Saturday at 5 p.m. here at the church. We'll have a good time of just some games and fellowship and some things going on. So we'll have that this coming Saturday. So just want to remind you to put that on your calendar there. Then also in the bulletins, if you haven't gotten one yet, just want to remind you in the Bible memorization section, we accidentally put the wrong verses in there. And so it's John chapter number 1, verses 41 through 44. If you haven't got that, make sure you mark that in there so you're not going back and redoing some verses. Unless you haven't memorized them yet, then you can go back and memorize them all you want. So make sure you've got that, verses 41 through 44 there. And let's see, does anybody have any prayer requests here this evening? Anything we need to put on the prayer list here this morning? I forgot to ask about this morning. Anybody have anything here tonight that we need to put on the prayer list? Yes, Brother Patrick, I know he's had some gout flare-ups here today. Just pray for him to get back to feeling better with that. He did a good job on Wednesday. I listened to the sermon from Wednesday. He did a pretty good job preaching on Wednesday. So, all right, anybody have anything else here? John Martin? His voice is trying to crack on him. Is that from a cold, or is that just the age factor? Yeah, I understand it. The cold's kind of going around, makes it kind of difficult. Miss Sandra's still fighting it as well, so do pray for those that are, Miss Mandy as well, that are fighting that. Anything else, Brother Buddy? Lost loved ones. Amen. Continue praying for them. Right. Most people in the church do have a lot of them. Yes. Pray for their family there. All right. Any others here tonight? Nothing else to add. All right. Well, I guess that's it here this evening. Of course, Jason mentioned this morning as well, his mom is going in for surgery on the 18th to have a pacemaker put in. So pray for her as well as she goes through that surgery there. That's it tonight. We'll go ahead and pray over these that are on the list here tonight, and then we'll sing another hymn and get right into the message here this evening. So, Brother Rich, if you will go ahead and pray for us tonight.
All right, turn to page number 63. We're going to sing What a Day That Will Be, page number 63. Go ahead and stand, page number 63. All right, on the first. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Amen. You may be seated here tonight. That's a fitting song for this evening. Brother Anthony's going to come up here tonight, and he's going to read for us 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 here tonight. 1 Thessalonians 4.
First Thessalonians chapter 4. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we are comforted with these words, Lord, that you'll take us up to heaven one day, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, so this passage of Scripture there, that of course this is a great portion of Scripture there in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, and whether you are pre-trib or post-trib pre-wrath like we are, you know, I think in both camps that this is probably one of people's favorite portions of Scripture. In fact, it's one that whichever camp you're in, that all of us agree that this is a passage of Scripture that is talking about the rapture. In fact, what we're going to look at here tonight is Scofield's pre-trib rapture, and this is probably going to be a two-part sermon, and so we've got a lot to get through here tonight and a lot more to get through later on. But if you look at that portion of Scripture there, of course, all of us recognize that this is, you know, the rapture. Whether you are pre-trib or whether you are post-trib pre-wrath as we are, everyone agrees that this portion of Scripture is the rapture. And what I'm going to show you here tonight is just how ridiculous this is, that Scofield actually teaches that this portion of Scripture is not the rapture. That it's actually what he calls the second advent or the second coming of the Lord, which is what he would call and what pre-tribbers would call Revelation 19, when Jesus Christ returns to set up his millennial kingdom. In fact, as we get into this here tonight, I'm going to read you some of Scofield's notes. So I'm going to go back in my Bible. I'm going to go back to, I believe, right before the book of Romans, which is page 1189. In the Scofield Reference Bible, I'm going to read a little bit of his notes there for you. And he says this. He says, through him alone, talking about Paul there, and this is right before the epistles of Paul. And listen, there are those out there, let me just hit on this real quick here tonight. There are those out there that teach that the only scripture that is for the church today in the New Testament is the epistles of Paul. That those are the only scriptures that we should use, that we should disregard the Gospels, that we should disregard the other scriptures of the New Testament, and only use the epistles which were written to the churches. And listen, that is a complete lie. That we're not supposed to disregard those. Why? Because the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction for instruction in righteousness, the Bible says. And so it is clear that all scripture, whether it's Old Testament, New Testament, the Gospels, the Epistles, the Book of Revelation, that it is all for us. That we are supposed to go to all the Bible and take the whole counsel of the Word of God. But this is what Scofield says. He's talking about Paul here, and he says, through him alone we know the nature, purpose, and form of organization of local churches and the right conduct of such gatherings. Through him alone do we know that we shall not all sleep, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and the living saints shall be changed and caught up to meet the Lord in the air at his return. And so what is he saying? He's saying that only through Paul, only through the epistles of Paul, that this is the only place in the Bible where we can find out about the rapture. Now listen, sure, there are things that God revealed through the Apostle Paul, gave us more knowledge about through the Apostle Paul, but listen, there are many other scriptures where the Bible teaches the rapture, and why does he do this? He has to do this because he does not want you going to Matthew or Mark or Luke and looking up Matthew 24 and Luke 21 and Mark chapter number 13 and seeing where Christ taught about the rapture, where Christ taught about his coming back to this earth. And so he has to direct you to this and say, hey, it is only found here in the epistles. Now, we're just going to judge this by the word of God and see if the rapture is only found in the epistles, or if we can find it other places in the Bible. I mean, how many of you, think about how ridiculous this is. How many of you think that the only place you can find the rapture in the Bible is in the epistles of Paul? Anybody believe that foolishness tonight? No, I don't think so, because there are plenty of scriptures elsewhere that we could look at. In fact, let's take our Bibles. We're going to look at a few of them tonight. Go to Ezekiel chapter number 37. And if you remember, not too long ago, just a week or two ago, I actually preached on this chapter. And so this should be familiar to you. Ezekiel chapter number 37. And look at verse number 1 when you get over there. Ezekiel chapter number 37, verse number 1. We'll not take time to go through the entire chapter like I did here recently, and if you want more context about this chapter, we'll go back and re-listen to that sermon on YouTube. It's on there. Ezekiel chapter number 37. It's also called, I believe, the Valley of Dry Bones on the YouTube channel. Ezekiel chapter number 37 and verse number 1. And the Bible says this, Ezekiel 37, verse number 1. And the Bible says right there, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. Now here in Ezekiel 37, that's a pretty good description of the rapture, don't you think? That when the rapture takes place, what does the Bible tell us? That those who have gone on, those who sleep in Jesus, will Christ bring them. They will be caught up first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, the Bible says. Their graves are going to be open. Their bodies are coming up out of the graves. And it's not going to be a body like we have today, is it? It's going to be a glorified body at that time, that God is going to bring flesh upon them, that their bones are going to come together, and flesh come upon their bones, and breath will be in their lungs. And when does all this take place? Well, the Bible says when their graves are open. Now, the average independent Baptist church, they teach that this was the nation of Israel in 1948. Well, let me ask you a question. Were the graves of the whole house of Israel opened in 1948? I mean, anybody remember hearing about a resurrection back then? No, that didn't take place then. When will that take place? That takes place future at the rapture. And so right here in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 37, what do we find there? We find the rapture. So far, the Bible has a score of 1 and Schofield has 0. Remember, Schofield is the one that said that only in the epistles will you find the rapture, in so many words, is what he said there. Now let's look at some other scriptures. Go to Jude chapter number 1 and look at verse number 14. Now Jude chapter number 1 and verse number 14, I think this is a pretty important scripture there, because one thing that you need to understand when you're studying the Bible is that some parts of the Bible, some parts of it were passed on orally for many years. In fact, what we see here in Jude chapter number 1, Jude comes right before the book of Revelation, is we find something that's not written anywhere else in the Bible, but yet we have it at the very end of the Bible. How do we know that it is Scripture? Well, it was passed on orally for many years throughout the years. People had that in the Word of God, and then God made sure that it was written down for us today. Now, there are other portions of Scripture that were also passed on orally throughout the years. Anybody think of any others? I know it's a tough, difficult question, but how about when the Bible talks about how that it was spoken of the prophets, how that Jesus would be called a Nazarene? You know, if you look that up in the Old Testament, you know what? You're not going to find it there in the Old Testament. It was not written down in the Old Testament, but it was passed on orally, and God made sure that it was written down for us in the New Testament so that we would have it today. Now, look at what the Bible says here, Jude chapter number 1, and look down at verse number 14. The Bible says, and Enoch. Now, who's Enoch? Now, if we're referencing Enoch, how far back are we going? We're going way back, aren't we? I mean, we're going back before the flood. Everybody got that? I mean, we're going way back in history here. Look at what the Bible says there. Jude chapter number 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, notice what he said, behold, the Lord cometh with what? 10,000s of his saints. Now remember, what was it the apostle, or not the apostle, what was it that Scofield said? Scofield said that through him alone do we know that we shall all be changed, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and that the living saints shall be changed and caught up to meet the Lord in the air at his return. He said, you'll only find this in the epistles. Well, guess what? We're outside of the epistles here, aren't we? We're in the book of Jude here, outside of the epistles, and it's referencing back to Enoch. And what is it referencing there? It's saying there that, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Now, what is that a reference to? When it says that he cometh with 10,000s of his saints, what is that referring to? Well, we start off tonight with 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, didn't we? And in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, there's something that's spoken of there. Let me go back and read it to you. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, and it says in verse number 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, when the rapture takes place, those who are in heaven, they are coming back with him. And this is what Enoch was prophesying of when he said, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. And so outside of the epistles, what do we find there? We find something in the Bible prophesying and teaching us about the rapture. So far, the Bible 2, Scofield 0. Y'all got it tonight? This is going to be the score throughout the entire night that Scofield gets a big old goose egg, that he is wrong on all accounts. Now, let's look back at what the Bible says. Look at some other scriptures. Go to Revelation chapter number 7. You're right there in Jude, so you're right there close to it. Turn over to Revelation chapter number 7. Because remember, the pre-trib camp, if they are going to teach the rapture, where is it that they have to find the rapture in the book of Revelation? They have to place it in chapter number 4, don't they? I mean, they go back to chapter number 4. In fact, let me just go back there, and I'll read it for you. But in chapter number 4, it says this, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet. Now listen, is it saying that there was a trumpet or a voice as a trumpet? As a trumpet. When it says as a trumpet, it's describing the voice. It's saying that the voice was as loud as a trumpet, that it's being lifted up like a trumpet. It's not saying the trumpet is playing. It's saying that the voice was loud like a trumpet. That's what it's saying there. And so it says a voice as it were a trumpet talking with me. Now, if that's a trumpet, how weird would that be? A trumpet talking with you? I mean, does that make any sense? Does that make any sense to anyone? No, it doesn't make any sense. Look at what the Bible says there. And it says, And he said, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now let's stop reading there. Because there in chapter number 4, this is what they say. That this right here is the rapture. One man caught up in the spirit, not in body. Remember, the rapture is what? It's a bodily resurrection. That is easy to prove from the scriptures. Just go read 1 Corinthians 15, and it is evident that it is a bodily resurrection. And so this is one man caught up in the spirit, not in the body, no trumpet, just a voice that is speaking loudly. All right, so does that sound like the rapture? And then they'll take the 24 elders that you read about there, and they'll say the 24 elders, they are a representative of the whole of mankind, of people out of every tongue, every nation, every tribe, that is who the 24 elders are. Now listen, if you're going to say that the scripture is using these things as a picture and as a parable, then you have to have scripture that tells you that. You can't just make things up. Listen, we can't just make everything an allegory in the Word of God, because then you can make the Scripture say whatever you want. If there is an allegory in the Scripture, you need Scripture to back that up. But they have to place that there because they have nowhere else they can fit it in the book of Revelation, because the pre-trib rapture does not fit in the book of Revelation. Now look at Revelation 7, and look at what the Bible has to say. Let's just see if this matches the what we see about the rapture. Look at what the Bible says, Revelation chapter number 7, and verse number 9. It says, and after this, I beheld, and lo, a what? Great multitude. Now great multitude, doesn't that match with what we've seen already about the Word of God, about the rapture? He cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Doesn't that match that? Oh yeah, look at what it says there. And it says, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So far, doesn't this line up with the rapture? That at the rapture, I mean, when the graves are open and people are coming up out of the graves, there's going to be people from all nations, all tongues, all tribes, all kindreds, I mean people from everywhere, from every nation that has ever been under the sun, will be taken up into heaven, raptured at that time. Doesn't this line up with the rapture there? Oh yeah, it lines up a lot better than Revelation 4 does, doesn't it? Look at what the Bible says there as well. The Bible says this, verse number 10. And it says, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Now, doesn't it make sense that when they are raptured out of this world, that the thing that they would be crying about and singing about would be what? Salvation, right? Doesn't that just make sense? That if we are looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, we're looking for the day when this vile body will be changed, when it will be redeemed. We're looking forward to the day of our body's salvation. Doesn't it make sense that they're singing about salvation there? Absolutely. Continue reading there, verse number 11. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and about the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? So what's the question? Who are these people, and where did they come from? Everybody got that? Because a moment ago, they weren't there. A moment ago, if you go back further in the scripture, it's talking about the 144,000 that are sealed from the 12 tribes of Israel there, 12,000 from each tribe there, and then all of a sudden there's this great multitude that appears, and so doesn't it make sense that if there's a multitude that's just appearing all of a sudden, that then he's asking the question, hey, where did these people come from, and who are they? That's the question that's being asked. Notice what the scripture says there, and the Bible says there in verse number 14, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest, and he said to me, these are they which came out of what? Great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Now stop right there. So what does the Bible say? Who are these people? These are they that came from where? came out of great tribulation. So they came from great tribulation. That was half of the question. The other half is, who are they? And what's the answer to it? Well, the other half of the answer is, and have done what? And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are the redeemed of the Lord. These are those who have been saved out of every tribe, out of every nation, out of every tongue under heaven. And they have made themselves white. They've been cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. And they have come out of great tribulation. But you see, Schofield, what does he say? He says, hey, you won't find the rapture anywhere else in the epistles. You know why? Because he knows you find the rapture in Revelation chapter number 7. And that doesn't fit into his pre-trib doctrine. That doesn't fit into his pre-trib heresy. And so he has to try to change your mind and get you to start thinking that, hey, you will never see it anywhere else. That way when you read Revelation 7, you'll never see the rapture. That way when you read Revelation chapter number 7, you stay confused. And you know what you see as the product of this in churches? You see people in churches all across this land that are confused on the timing of the rapture. They're confused on the book of Revelation. They don't understand it. You know why? Because they've been blinded by Schofield. They've been blinded by pastors who have been deceived by Schofield because he said, hey, you'll never find it anywhere else. So that way when they read the book of Revelation, they're never looking for the rapture. That way they're interpreting it according to their pre-trib lens, and they will never see it there. But plain as day, what do we see there? We see the rapture. These people have come out of great tribulation. And what do we see back in Matthew chapter number 24? That the people who are raptured at the coming of the Lord, the Bible says, that it is after what? After the tribulation of those days, according to the Bible. We'll get to that in a little bit. But there another scripture there. So far, the scripture 3, and Schofield, how many? 0. Look back at what the Bible says. Let's look at some other scriptures. Go to Isaiah chapter number 26 and verse number 19. Right now, we're just looking at other scriptures to see if we find the rapture. And any other scriptures? Isaiah chapter number 26. And look at verse number 19. Isaiah chapter number 26 and verse number 19. And we have some prophecy there of the rapture in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter number 26 and verse number 19. The Bible says this. Isaiah 26 and verse number 19. And the Bible says there, thy dead men shall what? Shall live together with my dead body. Shall they arise? Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Now, doesn't that just fit right in with the rapture? That there the Bible is showing us, hey, there are these men there, those that are in the dust, they're asleep in the dust, that dwell in the dust, and he's telling them to awake, and he's telling them there that they're going to live again, and he's telling them in verse number 20, to come, my people, and enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee, and hide thyself, as it were what? A little moment. Because what happens at the rapture, the people of God are taken up into heaven, and then what happens? Then the wrath of God falls on this world. Now, doesn't that fit in right here? Because what do we see there in that portion of Scripture? It says, hide thyself as it were a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth. Doesn't that just fit right in with the rapture? With what we see there about the post-trib pre-wrath, that we will be taken out because we're going to go through some tribulation, we're going to go through some persecution, and then we're taken out of this world, and then God pours out his wrath on this earth. Again, we see the rapture in another portion of Scripture outside of the epistles, don't we? So far, Schofield has 0, and the Bible has 4, doesn't it? Now look at what else the Bible says. Go to Daniel chapter number 12, and look at verse number 2. Daniel chapter number 12 and verse number 2. See what the Bible has to say there? Daniel chapter number 12 and verse number 2. Look on over there, last chapter of the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter number 12 and verse number 2. And the Bible says this, Daniel 12:2. And the Bible says right there, Daniel 12:2, and many of them that what? That sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So what do we see there? It's talking about those who are sleeping in the dust of the earth shall what? Shall awake, the Bible says. Don't you think that's the rapture? I mean, if we're talking about those who are asleep in the dust of the earth and they're awaking, they're rising out of their graves, I mean, that is rapture. In fact, if you were to look on down, I believe at the end of that chapter, I think it's somewhere down in there, that he tells Daniel to go thy way, Daniel. In fact, look at verse 13. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt, what's that word?
Rest
and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. What do you think that's a reference to? If he's telling him, hey, you're going to rest for a little while, but then you're going to stand. What's that talking about? That's a reference to the rapture, that he's going to be asleep in Christ Jesus. He's resting in Christ because our rest is where? Our rest is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Sabbath is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are asleep in Christ, they are resting in Christ, and they're with the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're going to stand in their lot in the end of days. That is the rapture. And again, what do we see? More scripture about the rapture that's outside of the epistles. But you know what? Scofield doesn't want you to see that, because he wants to brainwash you before you ever read this stuff, before you ever read the Bible. Go to Acts chapter number 23 and look at verse number 26. And listen, this is just a few scriptures here tonight. We're only looking at a couple. I'm not showing you every single one here this evening. Look at Acts chapter number 23 and verse number 6. And I want to show you this. Acts chapter number 23 and verse number 6. Because many times you'll hear people that will say, well, people in the Old Testament, they didn't know about the rapture. They didn't know about the resurrection of the dead. Now listen, how stupid is that when we just read some scriptures from the Old Testament that talk about the rapture, that talk about a resurrection of the dead? I mean, how foolish is that? But even if you didn't see those alone, you know what? You could figure out that people in the Old Testament knew about the resurrection of the dead just from the book of Acts. Look at what the Bible has to say there. Acts chapter number 23. And look on down at verse, what verse did I tell you? Verse number 6? Acts chapter number 23 and verse number 6. Let me get myself turned over there. These Scofield pages here, they all stick together. Acts chapter number 23 and verse number 6. And the Bible says this right there. It says, but when Paul perceived that the one part were what? Sadducees. And the other Pharisees. Now remember, Paul was what? Was he a Sadducee or a Pharisee? He was a Pharisee, right? Well, look what the Bible says. What was the difference between the Sadducees and the Pharisees? Because they're both religious leaders of the day, aren't they? I mean, they both claim to believe the Scriptures. They both claim to believe the Word of God. They both claim to have been looking for a Messiah. But what was the difference between the two? Well, look at what the Bible says there. It says, he cried out in verse number 6, in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit. But the Pharisees confess both. So what's the difference between the two? The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels or in spirits. But the Pharisees, they confess both. They believe that there's spirits and that there's angels and that there is a resurrection of the dead. Now look at what it said there. Bible said, where do we stop reading there? Verse number 9, it says, and there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part rose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel have spoken to him, let us not fight against it. And there arose a great dissension. The chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and to bring them into the castle. So stop reading there. You know, when this is taking place, did they have the entire New Testament? Did they have all the epistles of Paul at this time?
No, they did not have all those things there. So how do you think it is that the Pharisees knew that there was a resurrection of the dead? Why do you think that they knew about spirits? Why do you think they knew about angels and knew about the resurrection of the dead? I'll tell you why they knew about it. Because it was written in the Old Testament. That the Old Testament saints knew about the resurrection of the dead. Did they know every single detail that we know today? No, they didn't know every single detail. Some of those things have been revealed to us, but they still knew about those things in the Old Testament because there, what do we find? We find two religious sects that are bickering against one another. They're arguing against one another. Why? Because one says there is no resurrection, and the other says there is a resurrection of the dead. How did they know that? They knew that because of the Old Testament scriptures. There again, the Bible is showing us that the rapture is spoken of in other places in the Bible other than the epistles of the Apostle Paul. Now let's move on from that. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. That's where we start off here tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. So we finally got through the foundation tonight. That was all just introduction here this evening. Now tonight I want to show you what it is that Scofield does when you look at the coming of the Lord in the Bible, how he changes that in his notes. How is it that he deceives people into thinking and believing a pre-trib rapture? Well, look at what the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And look back at verse 14, and the Bible says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now everyone here, we all agree that that's the rapture, don't we? I mean, that is pretty clear. And no matter what church you go to, whether it's pre-trib or post-trib, they will all agree that that is the rapture, right? I mean, every single one will. But what does Scofield say about this portion of Scripture? Let me read you his notes there. In fact, there in verse number 16, he has a little X right before the word "for," and it's a note for you to look in the center reference column. And in the center reference column at note X, he says this, "Christ's second advent." So what is he saying? And by the way, he's saying verses 14 through 17. So 14 through 17, which are verses about the rapture, he's saying, no, 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 that's not the rapture. That is the second advent. Now listen, we call the rapture the second advent. We call the rapture the second coming of the Lord. But you know what? The pre-tribbers and Scofield do not call the rapture the second coming of the Lord. You see, they call the coming of the Lord when Jesus Christ comes back in Revelation 19 to set up his millennial kingdom at the Battle of Armageddon. That's what they call the second advent. In fact, I'll prove it to you in his notes. Let me go back in Scofield's notes and I'll go ahead and read that to you just to show you, just so we can get a basis of what he calls the second advent. Remember, we don't want to go with, when we define ourselves, we don't want to let them define it for us. We want to define it according to the Scripture. And so when we talk about the coming of the Lord, what are we talking about? We are talking about the rapture. When we talk about Jesus Christ coming in the clouds, coming for his saints, coming for the church, coming to this world, the second advent, we are talking about the rapture, but that's not what Scofield is talking about. And I'll prove that to you. Let me go back in his notes. If you go back to his notes to page 1269, which is way back in his notes there. Let me go ahead and get turned back there, and I'll read you his notes there to prove to you that he is not talking about the rapture there. Page 711, which is right before, I believe, the book of Isaiah, and he has there in his notes there, he has an introduction to the prophetical books. And there in the introduction to the prophetical books, he says this. If I can get my fingers working to turn back over there, page 711. And he says this right in his notes. And this is about what he calls the second advent. And he says this: the solution of that mystery lies, as the New Testament makes clear, in the two advents. So listen, he says there's two advents. Listen closely to what they are. The first advent to redemption through suffering. The second advent to the kingdom in glory, when the national promises to Israel will be fulfilled. So the second advent, what is he saying that is? The second advent, when the national promises are fulfilled to Israel, well, that is at the millennial kingdom. And he says it right there, the second advent is at the kingdom in glory. When the kingdoms of this world are delivered unto Christ, when glory is given unto Christ, when the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, that is what he is saying is the second advent. So listen, when we read 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, and it's talking about the rapture, and he flat out says that this is the second advent, referring to Revelation 19, well, that's not scriptural, is it? In fact, if you were to go into any pre-trib church tonight, they would disagree with Schofield on this. And yet they're following along right with Schofield because they fall into his trap. Because the trap that he is setting, here's the trap that he's setting. The trap that he is setting is when you see the term the coming of the Lord, he is setting this trap that the coming of the Lord always refers to the second advent, what he calls the second advent, which is Revelation 19. Now, is that what the Bible calls the coming of the Lord? I mean, when we read about the coming of the Lord, what are we talking about? We're talking about the rapture, aren't we? In fact, look back at it, at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 there, and look on down at verse number 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Go back, let's see, let's go back in the scripture, go back to verse 14, and let's see what the Bible says. Remember, we want to see what the Bible calls the rapture, right? And the Bible says right there in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto what? The coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So listen, every time you read about the coming of the Lord. Now listen, every time, not sometimes, but every time you read about the coming of the Lord in the Bible, it is a reference to the rapture. But you see, here's the trap that pre-tribbers fall into, is that they think that the coming of the Lord is referring to Revelation 19 and the Battle of Armageddon when Christ sets up his millennial kingdom. That's the trap that they fall into. So when you go back to the scripture and you show them scriptures talking about the coming of the Lord and you show them Matthew 24 and Mark 13 and Luke 21, they will say, well, that's the coming of the Lord. That's referring to Revelation 19. When nowhere does the Bible ever call that event in Revelation 19 the coming of the Lord. Every single time, it's talking about the rapture. Now, let's just look at some scriptures here quickly tonight and just look and just see. I'll show you every single time when we talk about the coming of the Lord that every single time Schofield changes it to the second advent, what he calls the second advent, which is the Battle of Armageddon, Christ setting up his millennial kingdom. Now look back in the Bible right there. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. We're right there in 1 Thessalonians. So just go back to chapter number 2 and look back at verse number 19. Revelation, not Revelation, 1 Thessalonians 2:19. And the Bible says, for what is our hope and our joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not ye even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when? At his coming, for ye are our glory and joy. And you know what he says in his notes? You see, he again has a letter there right beside at his coming, and it's the letter W. And then you look over at the center reference column at letter W there, and he says, Christ's second advent. Changes it again. You see what he does there? He's drilling this into your mind to brainwash you, to get you confused about this. Look on over at chapter number 3 and verse number 13. Chapter number 3 and verse number 13 right there. And it says, to the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with what? all his saints. Now listen, when we look at 1 Thessalonians 4, and it says that Christ is coming with his saints, that they are coming with them. And then we read the book of Jude, chapter number 1, verse 14, where Christ cometh with 10,000s of his saints. That's referring to what? That's referring to the rapture. And then in verse 13 of chapter number 3, and we read that Christ is coming with all his saints. What's that a reference to? That's a reference to the rapture. But what does Scofield say? In his center reference column about this, he again says that it is Christ's second advent. What he calls the second advent, which is the millennial kingdom, when that's being set up. Now let's go ahead and turn over to some other scriptures. Go to James chapter number 5. And look at what the Bible has to say there. James chapter number 5. And look at verse number 7. James chapter number 5 and verse number 7. James chapter number 5 and verse number 7. The Bible says this. James chapter number 5 and verse number 7. And the Bible says right there, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the what? Coming of the Lord. Hey, why would the Bible tell us to be patient for something if we're not waiting for it? Listen, we're waiting for the coming of the Lord, and there's some things that the Bible tells us to watch for before it ever comes. Look at what it says there. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now what does he say there? What is the coming of the Lord? I mean, what is it that we see over and over throughout the Bible that the saints of God are waiting for? We're waiting for the coming of the Lord, aren't we? I mean, every single Christian, whether you're post-trib or pre-trib, I mean, we want the coming of the Lord, don't we? We want the rapture to take place. We're looking forward to that. It's a time that we are comforting one another with those words, isn't it? And the Bible tells us to be patient waiting for that. And we understand that that is talking about the rapture, but what does Scofield say about that? Well, he has, a letter beside that, letter K. And you go over to the center reference column, what does he say? Christ's second advent. Again, saying that this is not the rapture, but that this is right before the millennial kingdom. That's what he's saying that this is. Let's look at some other references. Go to 2 Peter chapter number 3. You're right there close to it. Turn over. You'll hit 1 Peter to the right. And go to 2 Peter chapter number 3. And look down at verse number 4. 2 Peter chapter number 3. In fact, start in verse number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 3. And the Bible says this, 2 Peter 3:3. And the Bible says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his what? Of his coming. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So listen, the Bible's making it plain that, hey, in the last days, there's going to be people that are going to say, hey, where is the promise of their coming? You know what? The pre-trib rapture lends to that. Because, and how does it lend to that? Because for years and years and years, and for several generations now, preachers have been saying, the coming of the Lord, the rapture could happen at any time. I mean, you could go to sleep tonight and the rapture could take place. I mean, it could happen right before this service is over that the trumpet could sound and we'd all be taken out of here. It could happen at any time. And so you know what? Because they've been saying that, there's going to be scoffers that come along. And these scoffers are going to be saying, hey, you've been saying it's going to take place. You've been saying that it's going to happen at any time. Where is it? Where is the promise of his coming? You see why those scoffers are saying that? Why? Because of the doctrine of the pre-trib rapture. Now look at what the Bible says there. Now the Bible, when it's talking about the promise of his coming, what do we understand what that's talking about, don't we? And listen, you talk to a pre-tribber, they understand what it's talking about. They understand that that's talking about the rapture. But what does Scofield say it's talking about? You see, their idol, their man that they follow, disagrees with them on every single one of these points. Look at what the Bible says there. The Bible says it's the coming, it's the promise of his coming. And you know what Scofield says about it? This is Christ's second advent. Again, he's saying it's not the rapture. He's saying that Christ's second advent is when the kingdom is delivered unto Christ, and he sets up his millennial kingdom. You see, he does this throughout here so that pre-tribbers would be deceived, so that when you show them clear scripture that talks about the coming of the Lord, they'll just say, well, the coming of the Lord, that's talking about the second advent is what they'll say. They'll say that's talking about the battle of Armageddon when Jesus Christ sets up his millennial kingdom. And you know what? You ask them to show them one scripture to you that talks about the coming of the Lord, that's talking about the battle of Armageddon. They can't show you one. But they just know that it's about the battle of Armageddon. They just know it because that's what they've always heard. That's what's always been taught to them. But they can't show you one scripture on it. Look back at what the Bible has to say. Let's look at some more scripture. Go to 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 2. We're almost through all this here tonight. 1 John chapter number 3. And look at verse number 2. Turn to the right in your Bible. 1 John chapter number 3. And look at verse number 2. And the Bible says this, 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Notice what it says. But we know that when He shall appear. Hey, what's that mean? When He appears? What do you think that's talking about? That's talking about His coming. That's talking about the rapture. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now listen, every single pre-trib pastor out there understands that that there is talking about the rapture, isn't it? Because at the rapture is when we are going to see Christ, and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we are going to be changed. We are going to be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We all understand that, right? That's talking about the rapture. Now listen, take your Bibles there and go back now to chapter number 2 and look at verse number 28. Chapter number 2 and look at verse number 28. And in fact, it says there in chapter number 2, verse number 28, and now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His what? At His coming. So in verse number 2 of chapter number 3, we see that at His appearing, we're going to be like Him. And everybody understands that that is talking about the rapture. And then we go back to chapter number 2, verse number 28, and it equates His appearing as His what? As His coming. Now, you know what Scofield says about this? Again, he says in the center reference column that this is Christ's second advent. Again, saying, no, no, no. When He appears, when we see Him as He is, and when we're going to be like Him, that this is not talking about the rapture, that this is talking about His kingdom when He comes in His glory to set up the millennial kingdom. Again, just over and over and over again, giving you false definitions to lead you astray from the Word of God. We just got a couple more to look at here tonight. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and look at verse number 23. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 23. And the Bible says this, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 23. The Bible says right there, in fact, look back just a couple of verses for context sake. Look back at verse number 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So listen, what are we talking about here? Christ was what? Risen from the dead. So what are we talking about? Talking about the resurrection. Everybody got that tonight? Look at verse number 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So listen, we're talking about our resurrection, right? The resurrection of the dead. In Christ, all will be made alive, the Bible says. And look at verse number 23. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. That already took place, didn't it? Christ was resurrected from the dead. He was the first fruits. That already took place. Look at what it says. Afterward, that are Christ, when? When are we resurrected? When is the resurrection of the dead? At His what? At His coming, the Bible says. You see how every single time when you read about His coming in the Bible, it is a reference to the resurrection of the dead. It is a reference to the rapture. It is a reference to being caught up with Christ. It is a reference to 10,000s of His saints coming with Him, that all the saints are coming back with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single one is a reference to the rapture. But yet these pre-tribbers, when you talk about the coming of the Lord, they get the definition completely wrong. You know why they get it wrong? Because of Scofield. Because every single time, every single scripture that we look at, when we read about the coming of the Lord, which are clear references to the rapture, what does Scofield do? Scofield says, nope, it's not the rapture. It's Christ's second advent. It's Him coming in His kingdom. You see why pre-tribbers believe that? because they've been brainwashed for generation after generation. They don't have one scripture to stand on. There's not one scripture that ever says the coming of the Lord is when Christ comes back to set up his millennial kingdom. But verse after verse after verse after verse that we look at in the Bible, every single one, when you read about the coming of the Lord, it's a reference to the rapture. Hey, when are we going to be resurrected from the dead? The Bible says when? At the coming of the Lord. But again, what does Scofield say about this? His note there, Christ's second advent. Every single time he changes the word of God. Now listen, when you do that, you're in danger, aren't you? When you change the word of God, when you add to the word of God, you know what? This shows us that Scofield was a reprobate. That Scofield was not a saved man. That Scofield was lost, that he is burning in hell tonight because he changed the word of God. He was an enemy of the cross of Christ. He was an enemy of the gospel. He was an enemy of the word of God. He was an enemy of the people of God because he wanted to bring deception into the church. And you know what? He did a pretty good job of it. Because most churches tonight are deceived when it comes to the timing of the rapture. Look back at what the Bible says. Go back to Matthew chapter number 24 and let's finish this up here tonight. Matthew chapter number 24. You see, all of this, it was all foundation tonight. And Scofield does all of this because he wants to change the coming of the Lord. He wants to tell you, hey, you won't find it anywhere else except for in the epistles. You know why? Because when you read Matthew 24, he doesn't want you to see the rapture. You know what he wants you to see? He wants you to see Christ coming in his millennial kingdom. And you know what? When pre-tribbers read this scripture, you know what they see? They don't see the coming of the Lord. They don't see the rapture, even though it's clear as day. You know what they see? They see the millennial kingdom. Now let's just look at Matthew chapter number 24 and look down at verse number 3. Matthew chapter number 24, verse number 3, and see what the Bible has to say there. Matthew 24, verse number 3. It says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy what? Coming, and of the end of the world. Now listen, if every single time in the Bible we read that the coming of the Lord is talking about the rapture, then when we read Matthew 24, and it talks about, and they ask the question, when is the sign of thy coming? Then what are we talking about? Then we are talking about the rapture, aren't we? But you see, that's why Scofield had to change it. That's why Scofield had to go through all that work of deceiving them into thinking that the coming is Christ coming to set up his millennial kingdom and not the rapture, so that when they read Matthew 24, they'll be confused. Look at what the Bible says there again. What shall be the sign of thy coming? And you know what Scofield does there? He has right there, he has a note. Right beside that one, he says, he puts a note there, verse 30. Okay, so verse number 30 of Matthew 24. Well, why don't we just go down to verse number 30, right? Because that's his note there. Let's go down and see what verse number 30 is. Because they're asking the question, what is the sign of thy coming? And here he says, hey, here is the sign of thy coming. Look at what the Bible says there, verse number 30. And the Bible says right there, it says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. Hey, what's that sound like? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, the sound of a trumpet? Hey, come on, let's compare scripture with scripture, right? I mean, it's pretty clear there, isn't it? That when we read this, we see the rapture, because when we read about the coming of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians, what's one of the things we see? We see the sound of the trumpet. And when we read Matthew 24, verse number 30, and we see the coming of the Lord, and we see the sound of a trumpet, hey, that sounds like the rapture to me, doesn't it? Sounds like the rapture to you. Well, continue looking on. Let's see if it matches up. Verse number 31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall do what? Gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Hey, if his people are being gathered together, there's a great sound of a trumpet. I mean, doesn't that sound like the rapture to us? I mean, that's pretty clear to us, right? That when we read Matthew 24, verses 30 and 31, that's it. It's over. Game over. It's all done. That's the rapture. That's clear, isn't it? I mean, that's very clear. But you know what? Pre-tribbers, they don't see that. You know why? Because they've been brainwashed by Scofield. Because time after time after time, all throughout the Bible, what does he do? Every time when it talks about the coming, he changes it to the millennial kingdom. So that when pre-tribbers read Matthew 24, when they read these verses, they don't see the rapture. They see Christ coming to set up his millennial kingdom. Now listen, just go home tonight and take Matthew 24 verses 30 and 31 and verse 29 as well and compare it with Revelation 19 and you tell me if it lines up. Because in Revelation 19, you know what you don't see? Christ is not coming in the clouds. But here, what do we see? Christ coming in the clouds. Isn't that what we see? The sign of the Son of Man coming in the clouds? I mean, but you don't see that in Revelation 19. Hey, in the rapture, what do we see? The sound of the trumpet. You know what you don't see in Revelation 19? You don't see the sound of the trumpet. You don't see that there. What do we see here in Matthew 24? The people of God being gathered together unto him. You know what you don't see in Revelation 19? The people of God being gathered together unto him. You see, they don't line up whatsoever. But then, you know what? Do the same thing. Take this portion of Scripture and compare it with 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, and you tell me. You come back and tell me, does it line up better with 1 Thessalonians 4 or with Revelation 19? Now, here's what Scofield does. Because he talks about, you know, the Bible talks about the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. It's talking about the coming of the Lord. Now, let's go on down. And verse number 37, and look what the Bible has to say there. Verse number 37, it says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now listen, even pre-tribbers understand that those verses 37 through 39, that is talking about the rapture. Then you go on to verse number 40, talking about the two in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left, and they understand that's talking about the rapture, right? I mean, you go on throughout the rest of this, and they understand that it's talking about the rapture, and it's all referring back to the coming of the Lord. But then for some reason, when you get back to verse number 30, then they say, no, that's not the coming. That's his millennial kingdom. Well, where do they get that from? You see, they're not getting it from the Scripture, because if you just read the Bible, it's clear, isn't it? You just read the Bible, and it's easy to understand that this is talking about the rapture, the coming of the Son of Man coming in the clouds to gather his elect, the sound of a trumpet. I mean, it's clear, isn't it? I mean, verses 37, the days of Noah, that's clear, talking about the rapture. But what does Scofield say? You know what he says again about those verses? About the coming of the Lord? You see, every time you read about the coming of the Lord, Scofield always changes it. And he says right there, note F, Christ's second advent. You see where they're getting it from? They're not getting it from the Word of God. They don't have any Scripture to stand on. They're getting it from Scofield. You see, they don't understand these things. They can't explain Matthew 24 to you. And if they tried to, it would be so confusing, it would spin your head and make your head hurt, because they can't understand it. And listen, none of them have a clear, concise way to be able to explain Matthew 24. You know why? Because they got it all out of order. Because this is not talking about the millennial reign when Christ comes back to set up his kingdom. It's talking about the rapture. Now look back at it, and let's just read a couple of verses and we'll be done. Verse number 27, "For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the what? The coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Hey, when does the Bible say that takes place? Immediately after what? After the tribulation of those days. And what do we see in Revelation chapter number 7? Who are these people and where did they come from? They came out of great tribulation. You see, that's the rapture. You know what? We need to pray for our Baptist brothers because they're confused about the Word of God. And listen, I don't blame all of them. You know, I don't call them just because they're pre-tribber. I don't think that they're heretics. I don't think that just because they're pre-trib that they're, you know, vile, wicked people. And you know what? You could be pre-trib and you could be a member of this church. You know, I'm not going to cast people out of this church for that. You could disagree with me on that and you could be a member of this church. But you know what? It's going to blind you to the things of God. And because of this, many pre-tribbers are blinded to the Word of God. It's a lazy doctrine that teaches them just to sit on their rear end and to wait for the rapture to take place, because it could happen at any time. And I'm just going to, as Brother Patrick says all the time, I'm just going to sit here and play my guitar and wait for the rapture to take place. Hey, that's a lazy doctrine. That's what the pre-tribulation rapture basically teaches people. And listen, we need to pray for our Baptist brothers that their eyes would be open to the Word of God. Because this world is full of deception, and Schofield is a deceiver and probably one of the greatest deceivers of our day and time and of the last couple generations was C.I. Schofield. A man that is burning in hell. And let's not us be deceived. You know why? Because the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night, but not upon us. Why? Because ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you. The Bible says, hey, we're not in darkness. That's not going to overtake us. But when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, the Bible says. Hey, you have the parable there of the 10 virgins. The 10 that are wise and the 10 that are fools that we talked about this morning, that they weren't, the ones that were fools, they weren't watching for the coming of the Lord. Hey, that's the pre-tribbers. They're the ones that aren't watching, and it's amazing. They'll sit there and tell you, well, Christ told us to watch for something. Well, what did he tell you to watch for? Why don't you go back and read it, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, and he told us to watch for the abomination of desolations. To be looking for that when you see this, hey, when you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hey, watch for these things. You know why? Because it's coming as sudden destruction upon them, and these pre-tribbers that aren't watching, the Antichrist is going to come as a thief in the night on them. Because they're not looking for it. They're going to be deceived by the things of the world. And it's going to be too late for them. And many of them may be destroyed. And many of them may be killed because of these false doctrines that are being put out there. I mean, I've heard some here recently about, you know, Andrew Sluter, this goofball, Sluter the Intruder, and this other guy, Bill Grady, that teach that, you know, baptism can wash away the mark of the beast. Now listen, that's ridiculous. They say that John's baptism is coming back and it's going to wash away the mark of the beast. You know how ridiculous that is? You know how easily you can disprove that? And listen, how can you disprove that? Because Revelation says all those who take the mark of the beast are cast into the lake of fire. You take the mark of the beast, you're reprobate. But they will make statements like this. Well, because we're saved, we can just go down and take the mark of the beast. I mean, how stupid is that? How ridiculous is that? You know what that's preparing Christians for? That's preparing Christians to be slaughtered. Because at that time, because they've heard all this nonsense, if they've heard that and believe that, they'll say, well, because we're saved, we can just go take the mark of the beast because then we'll be safe. Then we can buy and sell. Then we can get through the time. But unbeknownst to them, you know what's going to happen? Instead of them going down and taking the mark of the beast, they're just going to get beheaded. They're going to get killed. Why? Because if they're truly saved, they're not taking the mark of the beast. Because those who are truly saved are not going to the lake of fire. But all those who do take it are being cast into the lake of fire. Let's end in a word of prayer tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank what you've shown us in your word tonight. I ask that you'd help us to take these things, to search them out, to not be deceived by these wicked and ungodly men, Father. And in Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. We're dismissed tonight.